Father's Day to all those who are fathers. It's like Mother's Day in a way. Every day is a Mother's Day when you think about it, and every day is a Father's Day if you're truly playing the role of what you ought to be as a mother or a father. And so I celebrate those guys who are doing that. I encourage those guys who aren't to do that. Your kids need that. I've been that guy who was failing and on the other end of that, and figured it out and started becoming a dad, a real dad, a real father, and you can do that as well. That's what the whole message of Jesus Christ is: redemption, forgiveness, second chances. And so if you find yourself in that spot, and I encourage those guys who are also expecting to be dads for the first time, be prayerful. It's not every Father's Day is a happy Father's Day, but children are a blessing. And so I think specifically, though, for a moment, of Patty Blaker, one of our bass players. She lost her father a couple days ago, and so this Father's Day, of course, isn't rejoicing for her. And so be conscientious of those who maybe a father who's lost a child, or a child who's lost a father, or a child who's never known his father, perhaps. So just be conscientious when you celebrate this day. Be thoughtful of those around you who you recognize might not be quite as happy as you, and maybe reach out to them, maybe encourage them a little bit. Today we're going to look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. There's an insert within your bulletins if you'd like to follow along. Basically, the only passage we're going to be in other than at the end, a little bit of Matthew 16 and a little bit of Matthew 25, so you can write those down and look at those later as we look at them. But Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, the story of seven guys chosen because there was a ministry need as the church grew. As any institution or organization, as it grows, there's growing problems, and there's a need for, you know, hiring new people, or, you know, adding new buildings, or doing this or doing that. And that's what they had run into in this particular place in Acts chapter 6. You remember in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached the first sermon, Pentecost, and there was thousands added to their number. They had continued to grow. And so the 12 were not enough to lead. And so the 12 get together, and the 12 choose seven and seven more and have them fulfill some of the duties of that. And as we look at this story, and as we look at these guys and what we know about them, I want you to kind of see where you see yourself and your the attributes that these guys carry, and whether we have those as well when it comes to being called by the Lord to roll up our sleeves and to get involved and to get off our excuses, Ryan said last week, and to get in the game and to do something, because really that's what God's called us to do, is to be involved, not just to sit on the sidelines, not just to come here and hear about things, but to get in service to Him. Here's our passage today, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to look at it on here. No, I'm going to look at it on here. It's too small there. It's good to get old. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, what was going on here is what happened in those days is it was traditional for a couple of collectors to go around on Friday mornings and to gather partially money and partially goods. And they did it in the marketplace. And they did, and then they went also to homes, and they did that. And then Friday afternoon, they would disperse that out. And how they would disperse that out is if you were a person who was in temporary situation where you just needed to get by, they would give you what you needed to be able to make it through that day and get into the next day. If you were someone who was permanently in a tough situation and unable to provide for yourself, they would give you 14 meals, basically two for each day for the next 7 days, so that the next Friday you could come and you could receive that again. And so that's how that worked. And that's why we do stuff like the benevolence offering. If you ever scratch your head and wonder why people come up here and put money in baskets, and why we have this thing called the benevolence fund, it's a scriptural thing to collect money and to support God's people, to rally around them when they lose their job or they get sick and they need help, to help them with a bill or whatever. That's why we do that. It's very important that we do that. God calls us, commands us to do that. And so that's also why we bring in goods, and we have a storage unit, we have things like refrigerators and things like that, because when there is a need, we want to be able to step up and meet that need. That's what these guys were called to do. The distribution wasn't being met. It wasn't happening right. And I want to point out something about why it wasn't being met, or at least the probable reason why it wasn't being met. The Grecian Jews, that was the Greek speaking, and then there was the Hebraic Jews, the Hebrew speaking. So there was a language barrier here. If they were people who had heard the gospel at Pentecost, they had traveled. Everybody had traveled a long way to be there for that event, And so if they gave their lives to Christ, they heard about him for the first time and they came to him, they would be probably foreign-speaking Jews, foreign-speaking believers, specifically Greek Jews in this case. They didn't speak the language of the Jews, the Hebraic Jews in that area. So it's probably a language barrier issue. And it's important to recognize that because although we might have a language barrier sometimes when it comes to our communication with other, I want you to see that sometimes you're the only person that can pour into somebody's life. There's a reason why they picked seven guys who were Greek. There's a reason why they did that so that they could speak the language of those who were being neglected or mistreated, whatever the case might be. And there's a reason God has placed people in your life, because you have a purpose to speak into them. You have a voice that they can hear, that they can understand. And perhaps a voice that only they will listen to. And so it's really important that we recognize that as we see these opportunities. They're opportunities of God for us to use our voice, to use our influence to make a difference. So that's the story on the Hebraic and the Greek Jews and the distribution of food, just so you understand. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together, and they said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables, because that seems like a menial task. And I want to tell you, there's nothing menial when it comes to the body of Christ. There's nothing, no job here. Changing diapers is not a menial task. Filling the coffee pots is not, it all makes a difference. And so if you're not plugged in doing something, get plugged in, get off your excuse, and do something. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. The proposal pleased the whole group. Everybody's happy about this. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Pumbaa, and Parmesan, and Nicholas, and all these guys. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them, because that's what you do when you're sending somebody out to ministry. You commission them, so to speak. You lay hands on them and you encourage them, and so they did that. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became Jewish priests, not the priests as you think today in the Catholic Church, but the Jewish priests became obedient to the faith. And so not only did this please the group, but it was incredibly successful for the cause of Christ. Why? Because everybody was doing their part. There was a need recognized, and the need got met. Seven guys could have said, you know what, we're not waiting. We're full of the Spirit. We're full of wisdom. We're not going to wait on tables. We're not going to serve widows food and make sure they get their distribution of whatever they need. We're not going to do that. That's below us. That's not how it worked. And the church exploded because every part was doing what it was supposed to do. And I believe with all my heart that when the body of Christ, us, when every part is stepping up and recognizing that it has a role and a responsibility to do something for Christ and to do its part in the body here at the church, I think that the church grows. I think that sends an incredible message to our community and to our world, and I think it speaks to new people coming in when we have all of our I's dotted, our T's crossed, whether it be at the door, whether it be in the gym with donuts, whether it be greeting people or ushering people, whatever that might be. I think that's an important thing, and I think the church grows when we do that. So recognize the importance of that. So what do we know about these guys? That's what I'm going to look at for just a few minutes. I'm not going to keep you long. It's Father's Day. I shouldn't even be working on Father's Day. Right? And I should have got seven gifts this morning, not one. All right. So these guys were full of the Spirit. That's the first thing we're told about these guys, full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit is simply guided and led and every day looking for him to guide you. And it's really important for us to do that. If we're going to be good dads, if we're going to be good moms, if we're going to be good witnesses out in our workplace, we need to be full of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to guide us and lead us. Spirit, what would you have me say? What would you have me do in this circumstance? Our direction, our life, our decisions, all that stuff needs to be bathed and asked for that. Ask the cricket on the shoulder, Jiminy. Ask him, what should I do here? And then when he speaks to you, right, another Disney thing, right? I watched too many of them. When Jiminy speaks to you and says you need to do this, the good guy thing, and the bad guy's talking to the other shoulder, You need to respond to the Holy Spirit that's telling you. That's what the full of the Spirit means. These guys were full of the Spirit. They were led and guided and directed and trusted in the Holy Spirit to do this. They were full of wisdom. Wisdom is different than knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge. Knowledge is really not that helpful if you don't turn it into wisdom. You can know a lot about a lot of things, but if you're not wise, probably going to be a problem. Read a few Proverbs and you'll figure that out. That knowledge is having information. Wisdom is knowing how to use it and putting it into practice, into action in your life. And so these guys were full of wisdom. They used their knowledge of the Lord. They used their knowledge of the Word of God, and they put it into action. So they were full of wisdom as well. They were respected in their community. They were respected in their places of worship. And so they were able to be used by the Lord and serve others, because others would look to them with a level of, you know, integrity and respect. They were faithful. They were faithful. This is an important thing. If you're a father, if you're a mother, to be faithful. If you're a believer in Christ, to be faithful. They were faithful to this calling. They were responsible. Many a parent, many a father, many a mother is not responsible. They neglect what God's called them to do, what God's commanded them to do. And many a believer sitting in pews all over the world today, just like you and me, is not faithful. Is not responsible to the calling that God has placed in their life. We need to be responsible. We need to be trustworthy. These guys were trustworthy. They could be given this task, and you knew it was going to happen. There wasn't going to be any question about whether it was going to happen. You didn't have to worry about whether it was going to happen. And that's a big deal when it comes to relationships. That's a big deal when it comes to the church. You want to be able to trust. You want to be able to be trustworthy with something. You teach your kids that, to be trustworthy when you give them responsibility. They were caring. Like I said earlier, they could have said, you know, that's beneath us. You know, we're not going to do that. But a caring person, a compassionate person, a sympathetic person, an empathetic person doesn't care about what it looks like or how small the job is. They just want to get their hands dirty and do something. That's what they want to do. They roll their sleeves up and they get involved. And they were willing. This is probably one of the biggest ones, this one and the next one. They were willing. They were willing to do what it took. It didn't matter if they were going to be judged for it. It didn't matter if they were going to be criticized for it. It didn't matter if it cost them something, because certainly it would. Their time, their talents, perhaps their reputation, as they did a task that seemed kind of not as good as the other guys, not as big as the other guys. How many times has God called us to something, and because it was going to cost too much, because it was going to require perhaps us getting criticized, if we stood up like that and actually did that? How many times have we passed on that opportunity, that responsibility to be faithful and to lead someone to Christ or to pray for someone or to just lend a helping hand, and we didn't do it because we just weren't willing. We weren't willing to pay whatever that was. Sometimes God calls us to things that cost us a lot. Sometimes it costs us our convenience and things like that. You know, When this passage is really about taking care of the least of these. And the least of these are our widows, and it's still true today, are our widows and our children. That's what we're called to do. Take care of our widows and take care of our children. Never to forget the least of these. Always to take care of the least of these. That's why we do what we do, Kelly and I, with foster care and taking in kids, because the least of these matters to us. And it matters to us, not just in a verbal way, but in a roll your sleeves up and go to action in making a difference in the least of these lives. You can do that in a lot of different ways. You can help a kid in another country by you know, paying for their food, or, you know, writing a check to Compassion or sponsoring a child. There's a lot of ways you could do it. I'm not saying my way is the only way. I'm just explaining why we do what we do. But you can't get away from the truth that in Matthew 25, Jesus says that. He asks a question. You know, what have you done for the least of these? And you're going to answer that question at some point. You're going to answer that, because he says it in Matthew 25. You can read it later. It's about the sheep and the goats. And you'll answer for what you've done for those opportunities he's placed before you. Were you willing to do something about it? Were you available? You know, I got time for that. I'm busy. You don't know what I got going on. That doesn't excuse us, though. It doesn't excuse our responsibility. I imagine if you looked at my day planner and I looked at yours and we looked at our calendars and we'd look back and rewound the last 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, we'd see a lot of wasted time. We'd see a lot of wasted opportunities. We'd see a lot of Facebook stuff and playing games on the computer and whatever else, sunbathing and going to the beach and whatever that might be. None of these things in and of themselves are bad, but they're bad if we neglect our responsibility to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Be his hands and feet and his mouthpiece in this world. If it comes at that cost, then it's not okay. That's our challenge through this whole series, really, is for you to realize that you're called to a higher purpose, a higher thing, not just for the daily grind of, you know, going to work and, you know, having going out to dinner and doing this and doing that. That's all well and good. But are you mindful and thoughtful? Are you allowing the Spirit to lead you and guide you to opportunities to serve and to make a difference? You see, these are the things that we know about these guys. We don't know much else about them personally. Only two of them are talked about any further, and that's Stephen, who I'll talk about next week. He's got a great story. It's in chapter 7, and if you just want to play ahead, that's who we're going to be. And then in Acts chapter 8, in a couple weeks, I'll do Philip. Stephen and Philip are the only two that we know much more about. Only one we know that has kids is Philip, who has four girls, which is, I feel his pain. Stephen, we're not sure, and the other five, we're not sure, you know, anything about them other than these things. But my question to you this morning is not what we know or what we don't know about these guys, because what we know is really good, and what we can see in these guys is really, really good. The question I have today is, what do we know about you? What do we know about you? What do we know about me when it comes to these things, when it comes to being Spirit-led, when it comes to be taking the knowledge and that we know about God, what God expects of us, and turning it into wisdom, which means using it in daily, you know, activity? Are we responsible? Are we trustworthy? Are we caring? Are we willing? Are we available? What do we know? What do we know about you? What do we know about me? Because I assure you, he knows it all. Matthew chapter 16, I mentioned that passage. It's a passage where he asks his disciples, you know, what is the world? What is the, you know, what do people say? Who do they say about who I am or the Son of Man is? And Peter responds to him that, you know, that his response was, you are Christ, you know, the son of God. I'll read it to you. It's easier that way. Says it this way. But what about you, he said, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And so two questions I want you to ponder. The question of what have you done for the least of these and who do you say I am? Those are two questions that Christ asked. And they're very, very important, because if your answer to who do you say I am is you are Christ, the Son of the living God, then that requires some action on the other question of what have you done for the least of these. You can't separate those two. Jesus' response to him in verse 17 was, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Blessed are you. And I contend to you today that if you'll get involved, if you'll get off your excuse, if you'll get off your reason, and you'll make yourself willing and you'll make yourself available, and you'll do something for the Lord, you'll roll up your sleeves, and you'll recognize the least of these who are around you each and every day, blessed are you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me the second opportunity to be a better dad. Father, for those dads out there who are struggling to fulfill this role, this calling, God, I pray you give them strength and wisdom. It's a day we celebrate them. I celebrate my father. He's a good dad. But I celebrate you mostly, my heavenly Father. Father, thank you that we can count on you no matter where we come from, no matter what walk. Even if we never knew our earthly dad, you are there. You love us. You have a purpose. You have a plan for us. And it's a redemptive plan. It's a loving plan. It's a caring plan. But Father, your plan is for us to get involved, for us to get off our seats, to get off our couches, to get out of our comfort zones, to leave our reasoning, to leave our excuses, and to get in your game. Your game is helping the least of these. It's making a difference in our community. And Father, whether you call us to wait on tables or whether you call us to teach a Sunday school class, or whether you call us to change diapers in the nursery, or whether you call us to witness at our workplace. I don't know what that looks like. But Father, I know many of us are failing at the calling. And I pray, Lord, that we would find ourselves faithful by being in tune with the Holy Spirit and seeking his direction each and every day and recognizing the opportunities that you place before us and then having the courage and the willingness to pay the cost, whatever that might be, to serve the least of these because we proclaim you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And we want to be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.